The NBA Finals return to Oracle Arena thanks to Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, despite losing Kevin Durant. We'll delve into it and the ripple effect in the NBA. We'll also talk to the fastest woman in college track and field, the fastest ever, today, Tuesday, June 11th, 2019.
On the bounce, three in the air, good again! Kawhi Leonard is willing the Raptors home. He's got the last 8 points, 101-97 Toronto.
Curry behind the back, dribbles baseline, feeds Iguodala, touch pass, Draymond to Klay Thompson, pump fake, flyby, three ball, got it! 56.6 to go. Warriors back up by three. Toronto calls time. This game is absolutely insane. Warriors not going without a fight. Iguodala takes a handoff for Draymond to Curry. Curry takes a three. It's up and good! Curry! Has tied the game at 103 with 119 to go.
Good afternoon. What a game it was last night in the north at Toronto. The Golden State Warriors survive to play a game six back at Oracle Arena on Thursday, 106 to 105. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. This is the Jordy Holtberg Show. Thanks so much for dialing us up in whatever form or fashion that you do. My main man, CD, producer extraordinaire, back in the master control suite in the 237 Roof Studios on the campus of Delta Media, KLWB, and Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. I am your humble host, and we're here for the next 2 hours on a gorgeous Chamber of Commerce Tuesday. Not nearly as hot, but a gorgeous day. It's the 11th day of June. College sports, other than for eight teams still playing baseball, is over. And so we shift our attention to some other things. And coming up on the program today, we'll talk to a young lady. She's just a freshman, all of 5 foot 1 inches tall. And she happens to be the fastest woman in NCAA track and field history. We will talk with the woman who ran a 10.75 in the 100 meters at the just completed NCAA Outdoor Track and Field Championships in Texas, in Austin. We'll talk to Sha'Carri Richardson. She is some kind of fast, and she is some kind of nice, and we're looking forward to talking with her. Kevin Durant goes and plays in Game 5 of the NBA Finals. And for 12 minutes, he was really, really good. Had 11 points, 3 for 3 from downtown. Hit a couple of free throws. And he was just rolling. And you could see what a difference. For all those people that say, oh, God, Golden State was better without him. Well, you just don't know basketball. Now, I was the one that said the Pelicans were better without Boogie Cousins. And I still stand by that. I still do. But Kevin Durant's a special elite player. And then he makes a move toward the basket, and modern technology, the camera shot of watching his leg and the muscle back in his Achilles and what it did, it just, oh, my God, it was awful. It was awful. I felt terrible for him. And shame on you, Toronto Raptor fans, for applauding that the guy gets hurt. I mean, that's uncalled for. You're better than that. Shame on you. Anyway, a lot's come up through all this. Kevin Durant's a grown man. He made the decision that he wanted to play. He wanted to be with his teammates. He just did. And it just didn't work out. All right? It didn't work out. But a great win for Golden State. And here's Steve Kerr, the head coach, cut number three. How do you balance it? The joy of victory, but then the just the devastation of losing a player of Kevin Durant's magnitude.
honestly. I just told the team I didn't know what to say because, you know, on the one hand, I'm so proud of them, the amazing heart and grit that they showed. And on the other, I'm just devastated for Kevin. It's a bizarre feeling that we all have right now. An incredible win and a horrible loss at the same time.
It really was. It really, truly was. Klay Thompson, who was brilliant, and he will get a max contract coming up soon. And he deserves it because they're a different team without him. They are a special team with him. He talked about losing Kevin Durant yet again.
It honestly inspires you to play harder, knowing your best player can't be out there. You think of him every time you dive for a loose ball or go for a rebound, because I know him and I know how bad he wants to be out there. That's why he was out there. And it sucks. I feel so bad for him, his camp. He's going to come back stronger, though. That's the kind of fighter he is, and I'm going to miss him, man. It's not the same being out there without him.
He really makes life a little bit easier. He really does. Steph Curry kind of summed it all up. They get to go home. They get to go to Oracle. It'll be the last game ever played at Oracle Arena because they're moving into the new digs in San Francisco. But here's Steph talking about Game 6.
Being at Oracle Arena one more time where our fans can really get behind us, you know, we're going to have to will ourselves, you know, for another 48 minutes to stay alive and whatever it's going to take from every single guy in our jersey. So I don't know really if there's going to be a speech in the locker room, if there's going to need to be words at all. We understand the moment, and I think we can rally.
Yeah, we can rally. And then Steph Curry came back, and you could see he and Andre Iguodala were walking Durant back into the locker room, knowing full well that he was done. That's it. But here's Steph talking about Game 6 for his brother.
I'd like to say it's guaranteed a win, but who knows how it's going to end up. But we're going to give everything we got. We're going to fight. We're going to compete. And I know if we get a chance to talk to him in the next 2 days, that's what he would expect. So I'm excited about that proposition in terms of what we have to do on Thursday. But at the end of the day, it's still heartbroken for a guy that gave everything he had for us.
So that's the big storyline. And then there's all kind of people coming out of the woodworks. I blame the Warriors. I blame the training staff. I blame Kevin Durant. I blame this, that, and the other. Would he have played if the Warriors were up 3-1? No, they were down. They needed him, so they rushed him. Look, Kevin Durant made this decision. I firmly believe that. I really, truly do. And now we move on to Game 6. A lot more talk about this. A lot more talk about what Kawhi Leonard has done with Toronto and how that may affect the New Orleans Pelicans and Anthony Davis. There's a lot to talk about on this stuff, and we shall do so. We are presented each and every day by ShopRite Tobacco Plus discount outlets with 59 of them in southern and central Louisiana. They've got everything. Man, if you can't shop right at ShopRite, you can't shop right at all. But first, when we come back, the fastest collegiate track and field woman ever. And she's just a freshman at LSU.
Taking the hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game.
Hey, we welcome you back. And oh, what I've been looking forward to this for some time. She may only be a freshman, but she's the fastest woman in college athletics at the just completed NCAA championships. She set a women's 100 meter dash collegiate record by winning it in 10.75 seconds in the NCAA outdoor track and field championships in Austin. The fastest time in the world this year, and it broke the collegiate record of 10.78 set by way back when, back in 1989, another LSU Tiger, Dawn Soule. We are thrilled to welcome in the fastest cat from Carter High School, Sha'Carri Richardson. Sha'Carri, thanks for the time. Congratulations. How are you?
Thank you. I am a great. I have no complaints. I feel blessed, and I'm just ready to go. Love life.
Well, life is good. In fact, it's so good. If you don't mind, let us play. It's only going to take. It's going to take less than 11 seconds. So let's pump up the volume and let's listen. And you just visualize it in your mind, and we'll come talk about it afterwards. Here's Sha'Carri, the fastest 100 meters in college track and field women's history.
Good reaction by Sha'Carri Richardson, also Tiana Daniels, but the best reaction, Kayla White for North Carolina A&T. Here comes Richardson, the phenomenal freshman, wins the front end of the double. Let's watch the time, 10.75.
Oh, my goodness.
With legal win.
That is the best.
Dive Sowell is gone. And a world junior record for the freshman. Whoa.
Whoa. Brings back some good memories?
Oh, most definitely.
Okay, so you get in the blocks. Take me into Sha'Carri's mind. What are you thinking? And take me through the race. What is your goal, the first 10 meters, the first 30 meters? Take me through it.
So basically, coming into the race, I just knew that I needed to execute the race that I was taught to do. So getting into the blocks, I just knew, like, as long as I get out, at least if I don't even get out ahead of everyone, as long as I get out in the mix, I had a good chance of executing even better than what I thought I would be able to and pulling away from the crowd just as I was able to in the actual race. But crossing the finish line first, of course, I was ecstatic about that already. But looking at the time, I was like, oh, I did that. And I was shocked myself. So when that happened, I was like, wow. And I just had to drop to my knees and give all the glory to God, honestly.
Well, you kind of knew you had the thing won. I mean, you did the Usain Bolt. You had your arms up in the air going, here I am. How about that?
So basically, me knowing that was just a recap from Texas Relays. We went to Texas Relays and competed. Me being back in my home state, it just gives me this. I already consider myself a confident person, but just being in my home state just makes me feel like like it's turning up a notch for me, honestly. So I went in the race. I didn't feel anyone close to me. I didn't feel anybody by me. So I think that was the reason why I was like, okay, you know, let's just throw them up real quick. But looking back at the race, I did not know that I was so far back from the line. And thinking about it and hearing everyone, it was like, oh, my God, just imagine if you would have ran through what you would have ran. And I was just like, yeah, I know. But that excites me, too, because I'm just like, wow, I can go so much faster. So they just leave me room to have room for improvement. And like I said, room to go even faster.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, how do you go your fastest time? Look, you were the number one ranked sprint recruit in the United States of America in the class of 2018 in Dallas, Texas. First off, you could have gone anywhere in the world. Why LSU?
I picked LSU because when I came on my visit, being around my teammates now and being around just the Bandage area and the school just gave me a feeling like a home away from home. It gave me that inspiration that there's greatness already here, and that to be here and to be part of the team, you have to want to be great. And also just seeing, like, the previous athletes that they had, like, the year before. And, like, not even just the year before, but throughout LSU track and field history, especially with Aaliyah being there last year. You had Makaya there last year, the incredible 4x1 that they ran last year, and many other races and many other athletes that they had. So just coming in, I just told myself I just wanted to be a part of something great and even become greater myself.
Well, you certainly did. I mean, you. How do you go from a personal best in high school not very long ago of 11.28 in the 100 meters? How do you knock off that much time so quickly?
Actually, in high school, I've always felt like I could have went faster. I've always felt like that in high school. But I think coming into college, the actual competitors that's actually running just as fast as you are, the resources that's available, being a college athlete, the coaching staff, listening to your coaches, and not even just your coaches, but your teammates that can tell you so much more, alumni, just putting all of your resources together just brought out that time, I guess, in me. Because like I said, I love the competition. And the competition was great competition. It's not like any of those girls were just mediocre. They were all on their A game. So running against them, it really brought out the best of the best, and I feel like each and every one of us.
Unbelievable. Sha'Carri Richardson, the 5'1" freshman dynamo, the fastest woman in NCAA 100-meter track and field history. When I say that, has that sunk in yet?
Honestly, no. It's still surreal. Like, my social media is still blowing up, and I feel just like, even when I look at the race, I'm like, that's me. that top is correct. So it's still soaking in. I'm still soaking it in all together, but it's just an amazing feeling knowing that I just did what I told myself I could do, and everyone that's supporting me, and like I always say, even the people that doubted me and my talent, I just thank everyone for everything, because it all had an inspiration on me all together.
Sha'Carri, I keep hearing you got to get out the blocks good. You got to stay low. You got to have your head down, right? Is that the approach? And when do you finally pick your head up? When is the spot on the track?
Most definitely, that is very, very important. In your blocks, make sure you're getting your blocks. You react to the gun. You don't necessarily you react to the gun. And staying down, your drive phase, staying keeping your head down and staying down is a part of your drive phase. And your drive phase is important. If you can run a good drive phase, once you lift up, I would say probably around the 40, 50 mark is where you pick your head up. Okay. And that's when you use your turn over speed. You just pick your legs up and down as quickly as possible. And then if you have another gear that you can hit before hitting before hitting the finish line, hit it and see where it takes you.
Sha'Carri Richardson, kind of enough to join us. I bet you were the envy of so many. I bet you beat every boy in your neighborhood. You know, we all sprint. I bet you dominated from day one. Were you always this fast?
I've always had speed to me, even in elementary, running in the gym, having to run back down and forth to see who would get back first. I've always wanted to be number one. I never wanted to be beaten. So just taking that from being that young all the way up until now, I still have that mindset. I know there's good everywhere. Anybody can be beaten. So I just work with the mindset of I don't want to be beaten, so I'm going to do everything I can to not be beaten.
Well, I'm looking at your profile picture when you got to LSU, and then I'm seeing you when you ran in the NCAA outdoors, and you've changed that look. So, I mean, are we sticking with the blonde? Are we going back to the brunette? What are we doing, Sha'Carri? You're everywhere.
I love to be different. I think that's another thing that I feel like is unique about me. I brought back the blonde actually because of the fact we were coming back to Texas. And due to Texas Relays, I told myself that I need all the same energy. So I'm going to come with the same look. I need everything to be the same. That way I can execute and do the things that... Well, I didn't think I was going to do, but do the things that needed to be done. But who knows who's going to be next? I don't know. I may take a break for a little bit. Who knows? I don't know.
Your teammate on the male side is foregoing his collegiate career. He's turned pro in Mondo Duplantis. He wants the World Games, and he wants the 2020 Olympics. I'm sure those Olympic Games are something that you're thinking about and thinking about quite seriously.
Honestly, I am a big believer in that God guides my career. So if that's the way he points me, so yeah, y'all will see me at the Olympic trials. And if he allows me to be a competitor and qualify, then you will see me in 2020. But right now, I'm just working on critiquing my race more and best as I can before anything else.
Sha'Carri, you have a great personality. You ought to get in the broadcasting business. You ought to do some of this and because I can tell you're smiling, you're happy. How has your world changed? I mean, Sports Center top 10. I mean, there's a new world for you.
It honestly is, but at the same time, I know I have learning to do, but I'm eager to learn. I'm eager to jump into something new because change is not always bad. So I'm ready, and I love it. Like this is just a whole different experience, like you said. And I wouldn't ask for it not to be on the level that it is. So I'm extremely happy for this, and I just know it's just going to be a life-changing experience for me.
That's awesome. I cannot thank you enough for your time. What does Sha'Carri do now? The track season's over. I know you got to be a little fatigued. Got to take some time off, or do you?
I probably won't train as hard as I was in season, but you never rest. You might take a couple of days off. You might take a couple of hours off, but you never entirely just stop, because when you stop working, somebody else is still working. So I just keep that in mind. And, of course, your body needs rest, so I let my body rest whenever it needs to. But I'm always willing to do the extra. That way I can get better results.
Well, if I was your father and the boys started coming around asking you out, I'd say, okay, you can ask my daughter out if you can beat her in the 100-meter dash. And if you can, then you can ask her on a date, but she has the right to refuse you. But you got to beat her first. I'd have you around in the house forever.
If he could, he would. I most likely, I think he would do that too.
Hey, congratulations! You have been terrific. You, I remember meeting you at the track banquet that I emceed, and I had no idea that you were going to do what you did. I would have talked to you longer. But congratulations! You have represented yourself, your family, your school, this state. In such great fashion. I cannot thank you enough. Congratulations, and heck, the sky's the limit. I mean, keep on running, girl. Keep on running.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
Okay, my pleasure. Thank you so much. No have a great day. Sha'Carri Richardson, the fastest woman in NCAA track and field history. And she's just a freshman, and she's only 5'1". But you talk about explosive. Wow, what a great young lady. Fun. That's awesome. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back with more here on the Jordy Helfrich Show.
NBC Sports Radio Update starts now.
And we welcome you back. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show, brought to you in part by Hooters. Hooters just makes you happy. Look, the NBA draft is taking place June the 20th. The best thing that could happen to the New Orleans Pelicans, in my humble estimation, is for the Toronto Raptors to win this thing and for Kawhi Leonard to be the MVP of the finals, because Toronto took a chance on Kawhi Leonard on a one-year deal, thinking that, hey, we could do some things and convince him to stay long-term. Same thing could be true for someone in the Anthony Davis sweepstakes. So I thought, who better to talk about it than Shamit Dua of Bourbon Street Shots, does a terrific job in covering the Pelicans and all things of the NBA. Shamit, thanks for the time, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jordy. How are you?
I'm terrific. Are you in agreement with that assessment?
Yeah, I think so, and I'll go as far as saying that the Toronto Raptors don't even need to win. I think they have done enough to show teams that it's worthwhile taking a gamble on a top 5, top 10 level talent. They were up 3-1 against the Warriors, now 3-2 after last night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what other chance do you need? I mean, you are one victory away from a championship. I think
Right. Teams
are looking at Davis saying that, hey, maybe we're next.
Yes. Now it's come out, and give me – I know there's posturing on both sides. David Griffin has come out and said what he is looking for in return for Anthony Davis, and then Anthony Davis' camp comes out and goes, well, we're really just interested in the Lakers and the Knicks. So take me through the posturing, and how do you see all this working out?
So I guess we can start with Anthony Davis and his camp. They want to do whatever they can to exert the little control that they have to end up
Correct.
In a destination that is favorable for Davis, which is New York or L.A. Now, when they say that, it's in response to David Griffin and company basically saying half the league is involved in asking for Davis, and small market teams have kind of been emboldened by the Raptors with what they did with Kawhi and saying that, hey, maybe we can go get Davis. So that Rich Paul and Anthony Davis are trying to combat that narrative. Like, hey, if you trade for me, we're going to walk. So it's not worth it. It's not worth your time. And because they really just want to end up in one of those big markets.
Yeah, and look, we even forget, let's go back even a little bit further, in what happened in Oklahoma City with Paul George, and that's a classic example. Had a year, everybody thought he was going to leave after that first year, go to L.A., play for the Lakers or the Clippers, and he decided to stay and have, get a long-term contract in Oklahoma City. So there are examples of this.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you go through the history of the NBA, and it's always worthwhile taking a gamble on a top 10 level talent. I mean, it's a superstar. These players definitely do not grow on trees, and despite what every fan base wants to believe, like, most young players never develop into anything close to what these players are. So I've always been of the philosophy, if you can go and get a talent like that, go get it and figure everything out later.
Yeah, I'm with you. Draft picks are certainly in play here. That tells me this may be a very busy week, and by this weekend, maybe there's a deal in place, or am I on a fantasy island trip?
No, I mean, I think that's a realistic expectation, right? So ideally, the Pelicans want the opportunity to work out with some of the draft picks, interview them, get a good idea of who these players might be before they head into the draft. And if they want that opportunity, and ideally a deal is in place by this weekend, kind of gives them the week leading up to it before they head up to Brooklyn for the draft. Now, if it doesn't happen by this weekend, I feel like the odds are saying that, you know, Griff is fine kind of waiting it out until the best deal comes, and it may just happen when free agency starts and the big market team starts striking out. Because you look around, I think there's more cap space than there are stars on the market. And eventually there's going to be a situation where, you know, the stars go to whatever teams they're going to, or they stay. And there's going to be two or three teams that are just left empty-handed without a date to the dance, and you're looking at Anthony Davis.
Yeah, that's and it's far an unusual circumstance where there's more cap space than players available to fill that cap space. So that's interesting. Shemit Dua of Bourbon Street Shots, kind enough to join us. We're talking all things NBA. What does the Kevin Durant situation believe to be an Achilles tear? That's he's going to miss all of next year in all likelihood. What does that bring more favor to the Pelicans now? Because there's one of the big free agents that is basically, you know, not going to be playing. So is that advantageous or not to the Pelicans?
Yeah, I mean, like, first of all, that injury is just absolutely devastating. Like, you don't wish that upon anyone.
No.
And it really sucks for their franchise and for Kevin and his family.
Yeah.
But, I mean, to touch upon the Davis aspect of it, I think you look at the situation, and I think teams are, again, going to be emboldened. They're going to see that, okay, you know, worst-case scenario, if Durant was healthy, he would have gone back to Golden State, and you kind of have to deal with that dynasty, and your title window isn't really wide open. Now, if Durant's not playing next year, either in Golden State or even if he chooses to go to the New York Knicks, he's going to be out for maybe a year. That's a non-factor. So that's a super team that's not going to happen. And so if you're a team that's on the bubble on the outside looking in, like, let's say if you were the Blazers who went to the Western Conference Finals this year, if you were the Nuggets, if you're the Celtics, again, you're looking at these teams that are on the bubble of contention, and you could just see themselves talking them into Anthony Davis, like, hey, this is the piece that's going to push us over the edge. Let's go get him now. And again, I think, as you mentioned, it's one less star that's on the market. So the supply of stars is short, and I think the demand is very high.
Shamit, David Griffin said, look, we may have to get another team involved in this. It becomes very, very complicated. You got to get the numbers to work. You've got to have interest, teams that are interested in players that maybe you aren't interested in. It's a very complex thing. Do you think it becomes a three-team variable?
Yeah, I think it's very unlikely that it's just a straight one-to-one deal, because honestly, I agree with Griffin's assessment that there isn't just one team that has every magical thing that just does it for the Pelicans. Now, you know, if it is the Lakers, you look at all the young pieces, and I think I talked about this earlier, their fit isn't great with Zion Williamson, and everything you should be doing should be kind of focusing on how you want to build around Zion for the next half decade or more. And so you want to bring in dynamic playmakers, you want to bring in shooters, you want to bring in people who can defend, and you kind of look at the Lakers' pieces and like which one of them can actually shoot the ball from deep, you know? And so I think it's fair for Griff to say, like, hey, you know, your pieces may be valuable. Let's go see how valuable they really are. Go get us another player that actually fits with us, and then, you know, we'll go ahead and do the deal.
You've studied this. Let's just pie in the sky kind of a thing. Who is the right fit? What player is the right fit for Zion and Drew Holiday that's out there that could possibly make this thing all happen? And all of a sudden now the Pelicans go from wow to, hey, this is a playoff contending team. Is there a player out there on a team that you think another team would be willing to shop for AD?
For AD one-to-one, I don't think there is that player unless you're that high on Jason Tatum. I am pretty high on Jason Tatum. I think he can become an all-star. I don't think he's there yet. Now, if you're getting a third team involved and you look at Griffin's criteria of like, hey, we want an all-star player in return and an all-star caliber, well, you know, you have the all-star caliber players and the young players that various teams have, but the all-star, you know, I've spoken on this guy for a very long time, and you kind of look at the people who are available, and the only one that kind of makes sense is Bradley Beal out of Washington. Yes. They're in a really difficult space where John Wall is coming off an Achilles injury himself. He's being paid the Supermax contract, so he's going to make almost $40 million a year. They don't have much they can do with their cap space. They have a decent pick in this year's draft. They're in a really good position to kind of kickstart a rebuild. So if they can get assets for Bradley Beal or some of those young players that the Pelicans don't see as fits, and then Bradley Beal comes to the Pelicans, I mean, to me, that's the perfect world. But I'm an unashamed fan of that player, so I might be a little bit biased in this perspective.
How does that work with Drew Holiday?
I think it works really well. So I think, you know, there was a lot of buzz about Drew not wanting to play point guard, and I think there's truth to that. But I think the truth stems from the idea that over the past few years, Drew has been the sole ball handler on the court for a long period of time. So, like, when Rondo wasn't healthy, Drew was running point, and you have Etuan Moore and Solomon Hill at the wing positions, or Dante Cunningham. And, you know, how many of those players can you count on to initiate an offense? Like, none. Mm-hmm. It's the sole responsibility falls on Drew. With last year, with Elfrid Payton being out, again, it was just Drew Holiday doing all of the work.
Right.
I think Bradley Beal is a player that brings a really important skill set in which he can be a lead ball handler. I think he can run the offense really well. And he has all of the tools you need from a primary guard player. And you kind of saw that when John Wall went down, where he started averaging 30 points, you know, 6 rebounds and 6 assists, which is phenomenal. I think having a player like that next to Drew only makes Drew's job easier.
Could the Pelicans possibly even move Drew to a small forward position, or is that crazy?
I think they would prefer not to if they can get away with it. I think they would want to get some true wings there. But, you know, if it means acquiring the most amount of talent as possible, sure. I think positions in today's NBA are slowly disappearing, and some might say quickly disappearing. But I think that, you know, ideally they still want players with size, and Drew's a phenomenal defender and can defend those players. But it's about making his job easier. So if he's more comfortable in the backcourt a bit at either of the guards position, I think they'll try to keep him there.
He is Shamet Dua from Bourbon Street Shots. Again, Kevin Durant out, and we're getting closer and closer and closer to the NBA draft. Something's going to have to give soon. I got to believe the Pelicans have to make something happen, and other teams have to get it happening before this draft, because after that, I don't know, leverage is so critical, isn't it? I mean, you got to make something happen here, and you got to be able to test it. I mean, who has the most, I mean, it's got to be a three-team deal, because I don't think anybody else has enough to offer for what Griff is talking about for Anthony Davis. So it's got to be a three-team deal. And is there another sleeper in it? Because that's the first time, you know, we've really heard about Washington, and it makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't know who the sleepers can be. I think I mentioned, you know, Portland and Denver being teams that might be aggressive because they see themselves as teams that are right there on the edge of contention. And if you can, you know, if you compare Davis with Damian Lillard, like that, is there a better 1-2 duo out there right now, now that Kevin Durant is hurt? I'm not sure there is, you know?
Yeah.
If you compare Davis with Jokic, who is a phenomenal passer at the center, I mean, who's going to stop those two players inside? So I think you're going to see teams like that maybe try to jockey themselves into position. And ultimately, they may not have the assets to get it done. They may not have the assets to entice a third team, but I don't think that's going to stop them from being aggressive.
That's awesome. Does this thing go back to a game seven in Toronto?
You know, I thought that if Toronto didn't close it out last night, that I think the Warriors are going to pull it out the whole way. It's just, it's been really hard for me to bet against the Warriors, and I would love nothing more than to see Toronto win, and hopefully they can just stop it in back in San Francisco or back in Oakland. But I my gut says it goes back to Toronto game seven.
Yeah, I think it does as well. Shamit, thank you so much, man. I know you're going to be busy, but, hey, if you get any inside scoop, shoot me a text. Let me know. We can talk about it. All right.
For sure. Thank you for
having
me.
You're the best. You're the best, man. Thank you so much.
Yep.
All right. Shamit Dua of Bourbon Street Shots. It's complicated. I love Bradley Beal. Former Florida Gator. What can he do? Shoot the ball. Shoot the ball. And that's what you need in today's game. Shooters. I don't care about size. Get me shooters. All right, we'll see. We'll take a time out here. We'll come back. We'll close up hour number one. This is the Jordy Helperk Show. 103.7 The Game. 103.7thegame.com. Acadiana's number one sports station. We'll be right back.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Helfberg Show on 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, and on the app.
All right, we are back 51 minutes after the hour. I hope you're having a great Tuesday. CD in the Master Control Suite, the 237 Roof Studios. Yours truly, Jordy Helfberg here. This is the Jordy Helfberg Show, Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. Brought to you in part by D.C.'s Little Capital Exxon, I-10, at the Henderson Cecilia exit in Bro Briggs. It's a fun place. You walk in, yeah, you got to take care of the necessities. You get gasoline. You have to go to the restroom, cleanest you'll ever find. And then inside, it's just fun. Lots of stuff, good stuff, and then tucked away in the corner. And you don't have to see it, you can just smell it, that true soul food deli. It's just really, really good. Best cheeseburger I've ever had. I've had a bunch of them, and that's at the top of the list. It really is good at D.C.'s Little Capital Exxon, I-10. At the Henderson Cecilia exit in Bro Briggs. All right, a little news and notes here. The New Orleans Saints, four-time Pro Bowl defensive end Cam Jordan, and the Saints have reached an agreement on a three-year contract extension. So he'll be tied together with the Saints for the next five seasons through the 2023 season. It's a three-year, $52.5 million deal. That includes $42 million in guaranteed money. Jordan turns 30 on July the 10th. So we've got that defensive lineman, the Pro Bowler, locked up for five more years. And I say, good job. Very good job. Meanwhile, on the LSU front, some not-so-good news today. Four-star Cedar Hill offensive tackle Cortland Ford out of Texas, has decommitted from LSU. He was in the class of 2020, all 6'5", 300 pounds. Ed O talked about winning the battles up front, and that was a kid that was ranked number 20 at his position in the country, number 27 overall in the state. So pick up the pieces and move on from there. So Cortland Ford decommits from LSU. Meanwhile, we found out what happened with Cole Henry. Remember, in game one of the Super Regional, Cole Henry pitched two innings and then came out. Well, according to our friend Brody Miller of NOLA.com, the Times-Picayune, who talked to his father, Jeff Henry, he said after two innings, his right arm was shaking and he couldn't lift it. He said he couldn't even make a fist, was unable to get on top of his fastball as his velocity dropped from 95 to 97 miles an hour down to 90 to 92 miles an hour. Apparently, the issue came from a buildup of scar tissue trapping and squeezing the median nerve running from Henry's neck to his fingers along his throwing arm and causing it to misfire. Henry's fingers began to tingle. His arm felt like it was dead. He pitched two shutout innings and then left. And we were all like, well, what the heck? What the heck happened? So doctors diagnosed the median nerve problem. An MRI on Sunday showed no structural issues. Henry underwent laser treatment and dry needling to break up the scar tissue. And within minutes, according to Jeff Henry, Cole Henry's father, within minutes, the nerve was firing correctly again. He then went outside and threw without issue. Paul Menary told NOLA.com, I think it's very encouraging news from the doctor, and he should be ready to go for fall ball. So that's good news. Good news for Cole Henry and good news for the LSU baseball Tigers. Back to football and the Saints. Sean Payton is living by the adage of leave no stone unturned. Tristan Blewett, he's already a member of one professional New Orleans franchise. He's trying to become a member of another one. Blewett plays rugby with the NOLA Gold. He had a private workout with the Saints on Monday. He's a 22-year-old South African. He also got invited to the team's mini camp, which began today and ends on Thursday. He's 5'10", 191. He plays outside center and wing in rugby. Whatever. According to the report, that skill set translates in football to those of a running back, a slot receiver, a safety. But to me, he's the gunner on kickoff and punt returns. All right, he's that guy on the outside, just kamikaze, run down there and bam, throw it. So Coach Sean Payton said, we're in the talent procurement profession, so you're searching everywhere for someone with the right vision. He said, I looked at a rugby player not too long ago on film. We're not opposed to putting the film on and looking. I think that's part of the evaluating. So can they find another Swiss Army knife like they already have? Well, we shall see. We shall see. Perfect example is David Onyemata. Never played football in his native Nigeria, began playing in the sport when he moved to Canada to attend a small college. And the rest is history on there, an impact player. So we'll see if Blewett doesn't blow it and becomes a member of the Saints. Taysom Hill, part two. We shall see. Our number two, by the way, coming up in just a moment or two. We'll have some hot topics. We'll talk more in depth on the NBA. The finals, Anthony Davis. Has Kawhi Leonard set a tone, a trend that more teams will take advantage of? And does this benefit the New Orleans Saints? So we'll talk with Henry Hayes. We'll do our On This Day in Sports History, an iconic day in NBA Finals history from the greatest of all time, and some birthday wishes and much, much more. Hour number two, straight ahead, the Jordy Helfrich Show. Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com, your source for LSU
Live
sports.
From the 2-3...
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pulled off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans.
Streaming live on the 1037 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won.
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
It's our number two of of 2, and away we go. Hope you're having a great part of your Tuesday, the 11th day of June. Thanks so much for making us a part of it. If you missed our number one, you missed the fastest woman in NCAA track and field history. You can go to 1037thegame.com and find our interview with Sha'Carri Richardson. Shamit Dua also joined us talking about the Pelicans. Anthony, it's a big deal. It's a big deal now. The NBA draft is coming up the 20th of this month. And will David Griffin have a deal in place, players in place, draft picks in place? It's not far down the road, about 9 days, and we will see. We will see what happens. So we've got that. We've got Henry Hayes joining us in this hour to talk about more of the NBA. United States 3, Thailand Zip, 45 minutes in to their opener of the 2019 FIFA Women's World Cup, and the Warriors believe that Kevin Durant has a torn Achilles. Wow. I don't wish that on anybody. I really don't. Well, without further ado, let's do what we do every day at this time of day. CD, let's take our daily walk around the sports water cooler, please.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
All right, CD, we got a game 6 heading to Oracle on Thursday, but today's only Tuesday, so what you got, big guy?
Jordy, I think that's kind of where I wanted to start there. Game 5, just a phenomenal performance all the way around. Obviously, Klay Thompson and Steph Curry carried the load in that ball game, especially after KD left. We'll get to KD in a minute, but Jordy, it seems like right now the Splash Brothers are just back in full effect based off of what we saw last night.
Yes. You know, they're the greatest shooting backcourt I've ever seen, hands down, bar none. And, you know, when push came to shove, they worked hard, they got open, and they knocked down the shots they had to. They're down 6, 2.5 minutes to go, and they had to make threes, and they had to make shots, and they did it, and it was spectacular.
I have to agree, Jordan. It was just amazing to see everything all the way around. And, of course, I think we got to also talk about Kevin Durant getting taken out of the ball game, possible Achilles tear, Jordy. And this is kind of the question I want to pose to you before we get to what could happen the rest of the series is, how much does this affect free agency not only for KD, but in terms of the NBA as a whole? Because I feel like KD is that first kind of big chip that was going to fall.
No question. He was the pick of the litter. No question about that. Now it's look, I think every team that was interested in Kevin Durant will still offer him a max contract, even though he's going to have to miss all of next season. He's 7 feet tall. He's a lot thinner, obviously, than Boogie Cousins. I still think he's got great years ahead of him if he can recover and get back to the norm. It's always a roll of the dice, but he's that rare commodity where you saw him on the floor last night. It just comes so easy. He is a scoring, unstoppable machine. So it will affect it. I do believe this helps the Pelicans even more with Anthony Davis. I really believe that. So now we'll see what David Griffin can come up with and what kind of package a team or teams will offer. And this could be a monumental moment in Pelicans history.
Oh, it's going to be huge to see what happens with the Pelicans and the potential trade teams, because like we said yesterday, it's probably going to wind up coming down to two teams. We're going to have to make a three-way deal to get Anthony Davis out of New Orleans, because we all know at this point he wants out, and he wants out at either Los Angeles or New York. Obviously, they're probably not going to send him over there. It'd be a lot like the Kawhi Leonard situation. And, Jordy, just looking at the NBA Finals series as a whole, now that Kevin Durant's out, does that kill the big momentum that we saw last night from the Warriors?
I don't know, because, you know, he got out of there early, and they went into the locker room at halftime, and they came out, and they weathered the storm and figured out a way to win. You got Curry, you got Thompson, you got Green. You got a shot. They're going home. Yeah. It'll be the last game ever at Oracle Arena, so that place will be, I mean, crazy. But to Toronto's benefit, they know they've already been there and they've won twice already in this series. So if you shoot the ball well, if they get the right guys shooting it, then Golden State has a chance. We shall see. But back to Anthony Davis again. You mentioned those teams. That's what he came out, New York and L.A. I thought he said it was all about winning. He wanted to win. New Orleans gives him a better chance to win than New York and L.A. combined. I don't think he's making these decisions. I really don't.
Oh, no,
I think,
of course
I
not.
I think he's like a puppet, and somebody's got the strings, and they're at Clutch Sports. His guy's manipulating him all the way to wherever LeBron wants him to go. It's crazy.
Exactly, Jordy. It's a whole mess right now what we're seeing with the Anthony Davis situation. And I'm like, let him do whatever he wants after next season. You can send him off to Timbuktu for all I care.
That's right.
Get him out there. Get Zion Williamson in there and get some really good pieces out of it.
That's it. You can't just give him away. You got to get something that's going to put you in the hunt right away.
Oh, Jordy, it's just such a busy week in the world of sports. Of course, Saints minicamp got started today. Yep. Day one in the books. And, of course, Cam Jordan, three-year, $52.5 million contract extension.
Nice.
Sean Payton, during his press conference, talked a little bit about the fact that you wind up seeing probably Michael Thomas next to get an extension. Can he get one just as big as that heading into the final year of his rookie deal?
I think he can. They're pretty darn close to it. He commands it, and you want to lock him up for as long as you can. You want to keep him happy, and you keep him happy. Oh, maybe Drew Brees can last even a little bit longer. Guy's in great shape. I love that pass-catch combination. Let's do it.
Oh, Jordy, that'd be some amazing stuff right there to see if Michael Thomas can convince Drew Brees to stay just a little bit longer. I think you also need to kind of try and shore up that offensive line because it's shown to be the one weak spot of it all, Jordy. Now we're going to move over to the world of college football for a minute because the Big 12 commissioner, Bob Bowlesby, said earlier today that he believes all student athletes who want to transfer should sit out 1 year, no exceptions. And I like the idea, Jordy, and I wonder what you think about it. Do you think this can wind up fixing some of the problems of the transfer portal where you're seeing guys transfer left and right because they could probably wind up playing immediately?
I will do it under the caveat as if a coach wants to leave and get another job, he has to sit out a year or two.
Okay.
Boom. All right. So what's good for the goose, as they say, is good for the gander.
Oh, yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it, Jordy. And I can't quite remember if we got to this yesterday during Hot Topics, Jordy. I think we kind of got sidetracked with Tom Cruise and Justin Bieber fight talk.
Very important stuff, though.
Riveting radio content.
Riveting radio, yes.
But Jordy, one other thing I wanted to get to yesterday we just didn't quite get to was Tony Parker, his retirement, Jordy. And it got me thinking the San Antonio Spurs in the peak big 3 years, Tony Parker, Tim Duncan. I think you wind up saying that grouping was probably the best big three of all time. You agree?
They were pretty darn good. There's no question about that. But those old Celtics teams had some big threes, and the Lakers had some big threes. They just didn't call it that back then.
Yeah.
But Tony Parker, one of the nicest guys I've ever talked to
interviewed. Like
he was always forthcoming, very nice, very polite. I did it when he was married to Eva Longoria.
Yeah.
With Desperate Housewives. That's how long ago that was. But
way before iPhones.
Yeah, he was a good guy and a terrific player. But Father Time always wins.
Father Time always wins.
Let me tell you what. Yeah. I'm watching this as we're talking, and the USA scored like 3 goals in the span of like a minute.
Yep.
So now they lead Thailand 6-0. You talk about a rout. Anyway, go ahead.
That's what I love, Jordy. Just the U.S. women's national team just dominating them. Get in there. That's going to be some great stuff right there. Can't wait to check out what they do down the line, the U.S. women's national team. But one more thing before I let you go, Jordy, because there's another thing kind of popped up after we went off the air was apparently Zion Williamson going to be visiting New Orleans this week. And it got me thinking. I know you're a New Orleans native. You know all the great places to hit up in terms of restaurants. Where would you take Zion Williamson out to lunch?
Don't do this to me.
Come on, Jordan.
Don't do this to me. There's too many. Oh, my gosh. I would take him. Clancy's is really classic New Orleans. And then at night, I'd take him to keep him to Sunday, and I'd go to brunch at Commander's Palace on Sunday. Can't go wrong.
No mothers?
Can't go wrong. There's too many places. No mothers. No. Anyway, I like Clancy's. I like Commander's Palace.
That's nice.
There's too many. I can't do it. I got to get out of here. There's your Hot Topics. But I'll tell you what, Zion needs some Cajun Chef hot sauce because, everything tastes better with Cajun Chef hot sauce on it. Do yourself a flavor. Bring it with you wherever you go. More NBA talk here on the Jordy Helfrich Show coming up next.
Hey, this is Ben Love. End your workday right. Ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports.
There's only one place you'll find all of the movers, the shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Helfrich Show. On 103.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. The big story nationally, of course, is everything involved with the NBA. Not only the Game 5 of the finals, but the injury to Kevin Durant. What is that going to do? How is that going to affect the ripples around the NBA? So I wanted to spend a bunch of time with my good friend and one of our NBA analysts, Mr. Henry Hayes, who joins us this afternoon. Henry, how you doing, my friend?
Well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. We text back and forth last night. I said, who you got? You said the Raptors. I thought the Dubs would win it. I don't know how they did it, but they did. And it was an interesting fashion. But about the game, and everybody wants to talk about the injury and all that stuff, but it just goes to show you in my book, man, the shooting ability, the heart of a champion that the Warriors are, it's hard to extinguish that flame.
Well, they're not going to quit, and they have a level of confidence that you can't buy it, you can't manufacture it. You got to go through it to be in that position. You know, remember the late Rudy Tomjanovich had the quote, "Never underestimate the heart of a champion."
Yeah,
and you know he knew because his Rockets won down there. And you know, look, you play Jordy. There's no experience for going through it.
That's right.
And it's back in the olden day. You know, Jordan had to get through Isaiah's Pistons, and the Pistons had to get through the Celtics, and you had to take your lumps. You had to learn your lessons. And then when you did, you really graduate, you cross the threshold. Well, the Warriors have done that. Those guys have all played in a bunch of big games. I mean, you got to understand, Klay Thompson's been in almost 130 playoff games in his career.
Yeah.
That's a ton of experience. And then you have the Raptors, who really, the only person on that team, Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green, have been through a lot of series themselves on the Spurs, but nowhere near the collective effort of the Warriors. So, yeah, it played out big. And then, that game had an interesting arc to it in that when Durant goes down and the Raptors fans, unfortunately, you know, kind of mock cheer that he got hurt, which is just
awful.
Terrible.
Yeah,
I think, in a weird way, it galvanized the Warriors because, look, let's face it, too, a team like that needs motivation at this point to play well because, you know, it's Pat Riley said that the disease of more sets in. You get three titles, you know, whatever it is. What's the real motivation? You're not trying to get your first. So right. I think that really helped get them across the finish line. And then look, Toronto made some really interesting missteps.
I want to touch on that a little bit. I always played for coaches, and I've done broadcasting for decades, where you call a timeout to stop momentum. Very few teams that have momentum will call a timeout. But I'm going to give Nick Nurse the benefit of the doubt here. His team looked like they were gassed, and maybe he was just trying to save Kawhi Leonard from the fatigue factor when he called that timeout when they had – look, it was like a prize fight, and the Warriors were on the ropes. They call the timeout, and then all of a sudden, Klay hits one. Steph hits one. Boom, 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 right?
Well, it was either that, Jordy, or if you want to kind of give him the benefit of the doubt, Nurse might want to have had one of – he might wanted to set his defense on Curry and Thompson because at that point in that game, the only way the Warriors get back are to make threes, and a lot of them with no misses. And that's exactly what they ended up doing. So he may have wanted to scheme to say, look, even if we got to double both, I'll give up deuces at the rim, but we cannot give up threes, which is exactly what they did. So, you know, look, that's going to be a move, especially if they lose this series, that goes down the history as really a very questionable call. And up to that point, I think Nurse has had a great series.
Yeah, quite I agree.
Off. But, boy, Kawhi Leonard was – he was in another universe. The Warriors couldn't do anything with him.
Yeah.
And So I think you let him go then. That's the prevailing wisdom.
He was unstoppable. And this, for a guy that wasn't drafted, does Van Fleet ever miss a shot? I swear to goodness, looks like every time he shoots it from behind the arc, it goes in. He's amazing.
A little local knowledge there, Jordy. So Greg Heyer is one of the key assistants on LSU's staff, yeah. Will Wade's staff right now.
Yeah.
I think he'll tell you, his basketball success is due to Greg Heyer. Heyer had him at Wichita State, and that's where he cut his chops. Was an unheralded recruit coming in there. Yeah. Really did a great job of making a career out of, you know, out of his abilities. And Heyer still gets a lot of the credit. So, local guy that's that's on the staff at LSU has really put Van Vliet in the league. He's been good off the bench for the Raptors, and I think at times he gets caught defensively. But look, all my guys are going to get caught up defensively trying to guard Steph Curry.
Yeah, How do you fight through all the picks and the constant movement? That's a very difficult assignment. Every time I wonder and scratch my head, man, Boogie Cousins, what is he doing? Well, he comes in, he gives them points, and then at the end, boy, he's such a defensive liability. The poor guy is not 100%. He's not in shape, and he's out there battling, doing what he can. But, man, I don't know what you do with the guy. I really don't.
Yeah, you know, on the one hand, I tip my hat to him because a lot of guys, Jordy, I think in this league, would just say, you know what, I'm not playing because I'm going to look silly. I'm not healthy. I can't do the things that I normally do, so just go ahead and scratch me, coach. But Cousins wants to play. Now, you could also argue, if I'm his agent, you could also say, hey, you need to play because they got a big – he's an unrestricted free agent as of this summer. So Cousins needs to show his wares soon. Now, I guess the other argument will be like, no, he doesn't. Shut him down. You don't want more bad tape than you do good. But I really believe he wants to win, Jordy. And so I think he's out there trying to give it his all. It's just, it's tough to watch because, like I said, he's clearly not all the way back from that Achilles. And he doesn't have the same burst, the same bounce, the same footwork that he had when he was in New Orleans.
Right.
And yet, you know, he had a measurable impact on that game last night.
He did.
So, again, you got to take your hat off to him in doing the best he can under the current set of circumstances.
Kevin Durant goes down and played 12 minutes, perfect 3-for-3 from downtown, had 11 points, and then he made the move to the bucket, and there it goes. I've never seen a camera shot quite like that saw his leg moving, that muscle moving in a certain way, like I've never seen anything like that before. And now everybody's, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but everybody's saying, okay, who's to blame for this thing? What is your measure on this? He's a free agent; he can do whatever he wants, but he came out to play with his brothers, as he said. Your thoughts on it?
Yeah, a lot of angles here, really interesting. So we can take them one by one. In terms of the blame, look, the guy's trying to play. He clearly, again, shutting it down for a contract, which is clearly done. He knows only Durant knew how healthy he was. And so the risk of re-injury, who knows, right? Mm-hmm. And I think people that are blaming their medical staff, unless they gave Durant the wrong information on purpose, which I would highly doubt. Because
right.
Kevin Durant would then own the Golden State Warriors. look, he's a grown man. He's 30 years old. He can make his own decisions. You know how this goes, Jordy. Those guys, this isn't high school. These guys have their own medical staff at times. They've got their agents. If they didn't want him to play, they could have easily made that happen. So I don't have a problem with the fact that he got re-injured. That's on him. I actually, as a person who played myself, I tip my hat to him trying. And look, he was very effective in the beginning of the game.
He sure was.
So, yeah. The other piece that's really interesting to me here, though, Jordy, two things. One, what does this now do to the off-season market? Because we all knew Durant's going to opt out, and then he's the most prized free agent in a long time. The best player in the league, some would say. Well, now he's off the shelf for a year. And he's 30, which means, you know, Boogie was 27 when he tore his. And he's a little bit bigger and carries more weight than Durant. A guy that really relies on his legs and his spring for that jumper, you know, I don't think it's hyperbole to say he'll never quite be the same. I think that's a fair statement because this has been a tough injury. Rudy Gay, Kobe Bryant,
those guys weren't the same. They were good, but they weren't the same.
Right.
So then you say, what does that do to the dominoes? Does this ruin the New York Knicks' plan? Do they still sign him to a max? And for the record, I think you still have teams lined up to give Kevin Durant a 5-year max deal. So I don't think they blink twice about the fact that he couldn't play next year.
I agree.
But it might color who you sign with him. Like the Knicks, do they go all in now for Kemba Walker too? I don't know. The other piece that's really interesting here is the whole 1+1. And what I mean by that is, you know, Durant signed a 1-year contract with a player option for a second year. And he's going to opt out of that second year. Well, some would say, correctly, you could at least bring it up for debate. You know, is that a dangerous move because of this? So let's say Durant has signed a supermax with the Warriors. Injury or not, that money is guaranteed. Now, Durant's a different deal. He's still going to get max money from number of clubs.
Absolutely.
But in Kyrie Irving, a lot of players are now doing this to where they're not looking at their fourth year. They want the flexibility to move around.
They want the LeBron deal. They want the LeBron contract before he signed with the Lakers.
But the problem with that is you better be
good,
really secure in your abilities, because teams won't hesitate, not for a second, on the guys that they think are good, not great, to say, no, we're passing on the big money, not here. So, you know, a lot going on here. Again, Durant can get away with it because when healthy, I do think he's the best player in the league. But I think going forward, it'll be interesting to see how this impacts that one.
All right, I want to delve into a little bit more of this with you. Let's take a quick timeout, if you don't mind, and we'll come right back. We'll continue the conversation with Henry Hayes. How does this affect the Pelicans and Anthony Davis, and particularly this finals with what Kawhi Leonard has done with the Toronto Raptors? We'll delve into that after this timeout. The Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, Acadiana's number one sports station. All right, welcome back. We continue our conversation here, the Jordy Helfrich Show, yours truly here. Over there, my good friend Henry Hayes, we're talking NBA hoops. The NBA draft is coming up Thursday, June the 20th. And we shift from the NBA finals now to that team down the interstate in the Crescent City, the New Orleans Pelicans. They've got the number one pick. They're entertaining Zion Williamson and his family this week. Can you imagine the restaurants they're taking them to, Henry? Can you imagine? How much fun is that? Sheesh.
Well, let's make sure you didn't take in too many calories.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. Look, I'm just curious. Toronto took a flyer. They took a chance. They had enough belief in themselves, and look what Kawhi Leonard's done for them. That one win away from winning an NBA title. Has that changed the tenor of other teams in the league, you think, with in particular to an Anthony Davis, you know, one of the top, let's just top 10 player in the league, maybe even higher than that, maybe top 7, whatever, but a very distinct, great player. Has that changed the mindset of other teams that are willing to say, hey, we'll take a 1-year flyer and we're close, we want to win a title?
I think, Jordy, it's a great question, and I think it depends on the club, but I can tell you this. Evidence is now starting to mount that it's trending that way. And don't forget, Oklahoma City did this with Paul George.
Yes, yes.
They trade for him knowing that he, A, had one more year of his contract, and B, had publicly said that he wanted to play for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Grew up in Southern California, homecoming, the whole thing. And Oklahoma City said, you know what? We'll take you, and we think that you'll enjoy your time here. You'll enjoy Russell Westbrook. And sure enough, he did. So that's another case where they got a really good player on what seemed like a suicide mission. So now, does it influence Davis? I think Davis is different because, Jordy, I think Team Davis is doing everything they can do short of putting up billboards in cities saying, mm-hmm, we won't resign. You saw the report either this morning or yesterday, which said essentially, and this is actually it's another issue, but I have a problem with now in the league, and you know this, all the stars have their go-to journalist So when you read a headline like that, you could say, well, now he's in his pocket. Anyway, different discussion for a different day. But the headline was Davis preferred Knicks or Lakers, which you're supposed to read into that. Don't trade for me if you're not the Knicks or the Lakers, because I am not re-signing with you, which then gets David Griffin's phone line hot, because if I'm Danny Ainge or anybody else that wants to trade, if I'm Milwaukee Bucks, you know, Houston, that feels like they're a piece away, I'm not giving you something that you want if you're David Griffin, because I know that I'm not re-signing him. So it puts the Pelicans and it puts Griffin in a little bit more difficult position, because, again, Danny Ainge didn't give him Tatum and Walker, or Tatum and they're studs, because he knows he's walking. Now, that's if Ainge is willing to roll the dice and play it for a year. And I don't think with Davis, Jordy, that teams will be. I think it's going to end up being one of the Los Angeles teams or the New York Knicks.
See, I put a lot of value in the person. There's Daryl Morey at Houston. There's Sam Presti at Oklahoma City. They're not afraid to pull the Danny Ainge. Some of these GMs are like, you know what? I gotta win some games now to protect myself. I mean, look what Dell Demps did on the Boogie Cousins thing. That was strictly to give him some time and to try and create something in New Orleans. I firmly believe that. So there's a human element here as well. Some of these GMs go, you know what? Heck with it. I'm going to take a chance. I'd rather win now and worry about the future later. At least I'll have a future for a while. Does that make sense?
It does. I think in the case of Anthony Davis, though, Jordy, this is one of the more impressionable players at his level of skill that we've had in a long, long time. Meaning, I really don't think he's calling the shots here.
I agree.
Team Davis,
100%.
Plus sports.
Yeah.
So I'm not even so sure it's his choice. As silly as that sounds, I think you've got a 25-year-old man that is really kind of an 18 and 19-year-old maturity young man. And so, I think all that said, you could be right. You know, Presti, Ainge, you've got some really good Bob Myers in Golden State. There's some really good general managers that have visions and make things happen. In this case, I don't think it matters. I think they are dead set on him becoming a choice, unrestricted free agent. And they will play that. Now, the interesting piece would be, let's say it does happen. And let's say they go against conventionalism, because, look, at the end of the day, I don't care who his agent is. He's under contract. And he's going to be paid almost $28 million next year. So it looks real bad real quick on Anthony Davis in terms of his legacy if he doesn't do anything but full go for all of next year. So that would be fascinating. Because, again, he can't pull the same stuff he pulled in New Orleans.
This is crazy. This is just the thought of this is crazy. Kevin Durant opts out. Okay, they play Klay Thompson to max, and if Anthony Davis is all about winning, go play for Golden State for 1 year, get you your ring, and then go from there. He's young enough. I mean, that's not out of the bizarre question, is it?
Well, again, and it's a good question, because it points back to Team Davis. What do you really want? Because if it's the basketball, to your point, he should stay in New Orleans. If it's the money, stay in New Orleans. If it's you want to cultivate a brand and an image and you want to take care of 19 other people in a city that's one of the biggest in the world, then it's Los Angeles or New York. And that's what I think it is.
Yeah. But it's not about winning if you're going to New York. It's just not.
No, because it's potentially the worst run franchise in the league, not followed up too far behind the Los Angeles Lakers, who in the last 6 years have been the living, breathing Kardashian show. So, you know, either way, the Lakers at least have a lot more heritage and history. But lately, they've taken a lot of L's. So I think the problem here locally is this makes Danny Griffin's job that much harder because, you know, he just doesn't get those quality offers that he would get, because if you were me or GM, Jordy, we know the deal. We talk to agents. We go, David, he's not re-signing with us. I can't give you the kitchen sink. So, sorry.
So we get a third team involved in this thing, right? I mean, that's the way this has to work.
Well, and that's very likely, because it gives you the ability to involve other players and other picks. And it also lessens the blow if you're Gail Benson. If you have to open up, swallow hard, and trade him to the Lakers, which I know she does not want to do. Mm-hmm. But that's a little more palpable for your fan base if you say, and the Phoenix Suns, or mm-hmm. and the Houston Rockets, or whoever you want to name, whoever makes sense. It's a little bit more of a sell and a spin to your fan base. So we'll see, but I still expect us to play out this summer once the finals are over, and it's going to be fascinating.
I think something has to be done pretty. If there's draft picks involved, I mean, you got to know what you want, and you got to go after who you think you like.
From a value perspective, Jordy, the pick is always more valuable when it's number seven and not a player named, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, and then we have 9 days. The draft is in 9 days. So that number three, number four, let's say it's number four today, which could be the kid from Vanderbilt who tore his knee up, or a player who you're like, I'm not as excited about, Jackson Hayes, who's a project from Texas. So mm-hmm. the pick has more value when it's unnamed. So you got 9 days.
Yeah. And I'm sure the Pels are doing some homework on that. Zion Williamson. We've talked about it before, but your thoughts on his transition into the NBA?
I mean, it's going to be, A, must-see TV.
Yeah.
B, we've really never seen a guy like this with his skill set. I keep trying to give him a doppelganger or a twin, but there's not one. He's part Charles Barkley, part LeBron James, a little bit of Magic Johnson in him. We haven't seen a guy like this. And then to boot, he's the kind of guy, Jordy, that A, he's a one-name guy. Prince, Madonna, Pele, Zion, right? And B, he doesn't, if I'm marketing him, he's a rare guy. He doesn't need to say a word. He smiles at himself. He's got that charisma. And so, the ecosystem around Zion is going to be, it's going to be something to see. And look, we know what ESPN does. Man, look, LeBron James and Zion Williamson during the fall and the winter, my sons joked, they're like, Dad, wow, they're talking about Zion or Duke or LeBron, tongue-in-cheek. In other words, they're going to give him plenty of coverage. It's going to be, starting in Vegas in the summer league, you think those tickets just went up in value times 10.
No question.
Including the TV rights to broadcast that. So, it's funny. I had an agent call me, Jordy, who said, how do I get my guy on that team? All he wants is the coverage for playing with the guy because every scout in the world is going to be there, so he wants to get his guy looks. So it's actually more that kind of activity. Not to mention, Jordy, if you or I are running Zapp's potato chips, Sachery, Zatarain's, any, you name the brand in New Orleans, mm-hmm. brother, we've called his agent. We got a meeting set up.
Oh, no
because
doubt.
The abilities and the matchings you can do with this young man in this part of the country they're immense. Not to mention the shoe deal. So
it's the perfect fit. More excitement than when Anthony Davis came to town. Much more than when Chris Paul came today. It's a single, not since Pistol Pete was traded and it became a New Orleans Jazz. Has there been that much? And this guy is, so much more explosive and different. But on equal terms, that's the most excitement this city's ever had in basketball. Ever.
Well, frankly, if you go deeper, Jordy, and this isn't the casual fan. This is Jordy Holberg, Henry Hayes, absolute wing nuts for basketball. Look, Gail Benson's made about 8 moves in a row that are home runs.
Uh-huh.
You get David Griffin, who the league wanted. You hire the architect of the Phoenix Suns training staff, mm-hmm. who the league wanted. You get a Trajan Langdon, who is one of the most well-thought-of up-and-coming risers.
And a Duke Blue Devil.
A Duke Blue Devil, who's your GM. Then you do little things like hire Swin Cash to get in on the let's diversify the way you look at some development. She's the WNBA, noticeable name. She's done things that really give them not only a shot, but they got a great story to tell now. They've got a great backbone, which, look, 3 months ago, we could not say that. This was a shambles. Danny Ferry was mine in the shop.
was the Saints' little brother. And now, man, they're front page news. And this is a worldwide. I mean, kids in China are going to know about the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah, that's right.
Zion is wearing that jersey.
Yeah.
So, no, it's you're right. This hasn't been, I'd say, since the club relocated, that was a big, big deal. But, you know, even when the city signed Drew Brees, he was coming off a major shoulder surgery, so you didn't really know.
Exactly.
Nor was he Drew Brees yet. So this is a big, big deal.
I tell everybody this, Henry Hayes joining us. Look, I was there from day one when the team relocated from Charlotte. I've never felt more secure in a basketball franchise in this city than I do now. They actually are making, I mean, there's stability. There's ownership without financial worries. They're getting basketball people in to make basketball decisions, and that's never been done before. It's on solid ground. Now they just got to win. They got to put a roster together. That's all.
Yeah, and they need to produce, and then make good news with respect to, you know, signing players, trading for players, and then player development. But I think they'll do that. And, you know, the other interesting piece to me, Jordy, here is I think gently Alvin Gentry's kind of on the warm seat because, look, if you don't think any of the head coaches sitting in the league would love, you know, to coach Zion Williams and Jrue Holiday and whoever else they could bring in, you're kidding yourself. So, you know, hey, that's okay. Competition, you know, begets the best. And I think that, you know, Griffin's a guy who expects that. And so we'll see what Gentry has. But, you know, all the pieces are lined up, not just for this year, but for a nice 10-year run of
–
it kind of reminds me of when a young R.C. Buford teamed up with Greg Popovich to run the Spurs.
Yeah.
And you had the owner who is not a front-page guy. He lets his guys go do the basketball work. Boy, that has more than paid off because that is – I would argue that's the most stable franchise in professional sports, the San Antonio Spurs. Yeah. And that's – this model is not – too far from that. So
that would be
great. Good times ahead for the Pelicans.
That would be great. Henry, that was fun, man. I thank you for spending some time with us today. I'm fascinated by all this stuff, and we'll find out sooner rather than later, my friend. So
that's right.
Thank you very much. Have a good one.
You too, brother.
All right, take care. Henry Hayes, kind enough to join us. We'll be back to wrap things up here on a Tuesday edition of the Jordy Helpert Show. 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com. We welcome you back. A busy, busy day, by all means. Lots of stuff going on. David Ortiz had a second surgery after getting back to Boston. We hope Big Poppy is A-OK. Forbes came out with their richest athletes in the year, and Lionel Messi has topped Forbes' list of the world's highest paid athletes as soccer players dominated the podium. The Barcelona forward earned $127 million this past year, $18 million more than second place Cristiano Ronaldo, who pocketed $109 million. Neymar from Brazil was third on the list. So soccer superstars are the one. Let's see. Roger Federer, tennis, fifth highest earner, $93.4 million. He was number one in terms of endorsements, though, $86 million coming via promotions, right? Football stars Russell Wilson, $89.5 million. Aaron Rodgers, $89.3 million, were sixth and seventh, respectively, on the list. So LeBron James, $89 million. Steph Curry, $79.8 million. Kevin Durant, $65.4 million. So top 10, Messi, Ronaldo, Neymar. Saul Canelo Alvarez, the boxer, is 4. Federer, 5. Russell Wilson, 6. Aaron Rodgers, 7. LeBron James, 8. Steph Curry, 9. Kevin Durant, 10. Just in case you were interested in that stuff. Let's do our daily history lesson, please, because a very special day in NBA history, this June the 11th, the year 1997. It was the legendary flu game of one Michael Jordan. As he played through fatigue, he played through dehydration, but he still led the Bulls to a 90-88 Game 5 win over the Utah Jazz in the NBA Finals. I can still see, you can still picture Scottie Pippen on a timeout, literally dragging Michael Jordan to the bench, carrying him over there because Jordan just didn't have enough juice left in him to make it happen. But it was on this day, June 11th, the year 1997, an iconic moment in sports history. In the 2019 FIFA Women's World Cup, United States leading Thailand 3-0. Alex Morgan got the women started with a goal off of a nice pass from Rose Lavelle, and the United States women trying to repeat their World Cup title, getting it done. Easy match against Thailand today. 3-0, 33 minutes in. All right, birthday wishes today. If today, June the 11th, is your special day, man, we wish you the best. Happy birthday, Maggie Bertner. Special person. Happy, happy birthday. Let's see. You share with the likes of 29-year-old WNBA superstar. She played for the UConn Huskies and Geno Auriemma. Maya Moore celebrating her birthday today. And at one point in time, he was regarded as the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. Now people say it's Tom Brady, but back in the day, everybody wanted to be Joe Montana. Happy 63rd birthday to Joe Montana of the San Francisco 49ers, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish and all that. What a quarterback he was. And he was born on this day back in 1913, passed away in 1970, still regarded as one of the greatest football coaches ever, the late Vince Lombardi. Was born on this day. If it's your anniversary, happy, happy anniversary to you and to yours. I hope you keep adding year after year after year to it. Special thanks to our guest. How much fun was Sha'Carri Richardson? If you missed it, go to 1037thegame.com. You can find it in the demand section. She was terrific. The fastest woman in college track and field history. Wow. Special thanks to Shamet Dua of Bourbon Street Shots and my buddy Henry Hayes. A lot of NBA talk today. Tomorrow we'll preview the U.S. Open. Alex Myers will join us from Pebble Beach. Hump Day with Huguenin and much, much more. CD, outstanding job as always. Thank you, my friend. Thanks to all of you for listening, and thank you to our partners that make this show possible each and every day. Cannot thank you enough. We only have one of these Tuesdays. Go out and enjoy it. Live it up to the fullest. Come on back tomorrow, same time, 2 to 4, same great station, 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Until then, from all of us here to all of you there, thank you so much, and stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.